Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Early Line, Monday morning edition. It's Donnie Wrightside, it's Joe Ranieri, it's SiriusXM channel 159, and we are ready to go and talking some NFL action. Now, if you take a look at the date today, Joe, it's August 7th, 2023. In exactly 1 month, we turn into September 7th, 2023. That's the Detroit Lions, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs. That's Thursday night opening action, and away we go into the NFL season. But we're going to get a lot of interesting quotes out of players, a lot of player movement, and also the dreaded injuries are probably going to take place over the next couple weeks, as this week is the first full slate of preseason games. But let's take a look at what some of these teams around the NFL, Joe, are doing, which include the Philadelphia Eagles. We touched on it in the 7-7. Jack and Cunningham here to the Philadelphia Eagles to get that depth at the linebacker position. The Eagles did it last year on the defensive line. Look, the one thing that you know, you can't have enough talent on your team. And if you're seeing deficiencies maybe early in training camp, you better get those last few guys here that are still on the scrap heap to see if you can get something out of them for the season. So Jack comes over and Cunningham probably on cheap one-year deals. And quite frankly, one of them is probably not even going to make this football team. It's a good move by the Eagles, but at the same time, maybe a little bit worried here that you lost your linebacking core essentially last year, had to replace it, and maybe Sean Desai, the new defensive coordinator, Joe's like, you know what? I think I need some reinforcements here.
Well, I mean, they do. They depth was an issue. This position was one that completely has been overhauled. There are a lot of question marks about what's going on. It's some unproven commodities, although I believe the kid Christian Ellis is really, I guess, apparently kind of separating himself from Morrow and some of these other guys here. But, yeah, you know, in a position in which, you know your front end, you know, your down linemen are going to be phenomenal, right? You know the back end is going to be pretty good. So, yeah, I would rather have more than less in the middle there with the linebacking position, Donnie. Yeah. I'd rather have a lot of depth, guys to push one another, because it is the one spot on that Eagles defense that has gone through the most transformation here this year. Tackles, 9.5 sacks and 17 quarterback hits. Now you're going to put them on the opposite side, and you got to love this defense coming up for Carolina, by the way. You got Brian Burns on one side. You got Shaq Thompson. You got Frankie Louvu. Mm-hmm. You got and now you bring in, you bring in a guy that has spent his entire career making quarterbacks extremely uncomfortable. Got to love the move here, and you got to love the signing. I'm kind of shocked that it took this long for him to get locked up.
Yeah. And not too expensive either, about $7 million with incentives if he reaches those. Let's welcome in the radio audience. You're watching and listening live here to the Early Line Monday morning edition right here on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM channel 159. He's Joe Ranieri. I'm Donnie Wrightside, hitting some NFL topics, which include Micah Parsons, who, again, I'm not a Cowboys fan by any stretch, but I love Micah Parsons. This guy is a game changer and exciting to watch, and also very interesting to watch him also on social media. But having said that, Mike McCarthy's basically telling like, yeah, you know what? I love all the passion. I love the excitement. He loves the practice. But lay off the quarterbacks here multiple times so far in training camp. You know, you can't go. Forget about third string or fourth string quarterback. Your star quarterback making all that money, you're not supposed to touch him. He's taken him out quite a few times. As Mike McCarthy says, he is the number one violator of the rule to not touch the quarterback.
So, yeah, you know what? I'll take that all day long. I really will. Because you guys like him, there's no middle ground with Parsons, right? So it's either you turn it up and you just let him go. You do not want to try to contain him. You want to let him go. And if he gets out of control, then you do exactly what he is doing. But, you know, behind the scenes, I promise you, McCarthy is in no way, shape, or form trying to change the attitude of Micah Parsons here. He likes him exactly the way he is, and he will wind him up and let him go soon enough, I promise you.
Yeah, one of those where he's going to be one to keep an eye on. One of the guys, probably one of the leaders in the clubhouse, obviously at the FanDuel Sportsbook, to be Defensive Player of the Year because of the sacks and the game-changing ability that he does have. But every once in a while, you watch some of those clips there from Cowboys practice where it's not so much you're getting to the quarterback, like grabbing him by the shoulder pads. Like, he's going full blast, which means like he's tumbling into the back of the legs for Dak Prescott, which is ultimately a no-no. But if you are a coach, you're furious. But if he was like a third or fourth round pick that you might cut for doing that, yes, it's Micah Parsons. He might be one of the best players in the NFL over the next 5 to 6 years. You're certainly not going to want to temper those expectations with him. Hey, you know what? Let's get into the quarterback. Do that on game day. Let's talk Angels baseball next, or what's left of it here. We'll be back. Ooh.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to talk some Major League Baseball action. We are going to focus on a single team here because we were led to believe, at least from the organization, that, you know what? We're going to be all in here at the deadline. We're not trading anybody. And we're talking about the Angels of Los Angeles. Keep Shohei Ohtani, keep Mike Trout around, Anthony Rendon, add a pitcher or two, and a couple guys like CJ Cron and Randall Grichuk. Let's make this run because we're hot. Little did they know, which much of what we knew, Joe Ranieri, was, that schedule's going to get a little bit tougher here. And also, do you really think you can make the playoffs? Because you haven't done it in the past couple of years with superstar talent. You add Lucas Giolito and a couple B-round players, and you figure you're going to make a run at the playoffs? Well, guess what's happened since the trade deadline? And the joke is, hey, maybe if the trade deadline was a week later, the Angels would have sold everybody. Why? As Jeff Passan tweets here, the Los Angeles Angels have now lost 6 consecutive games after falling 3-2 yesterday to Seattle in extra innings. They're 56-57 on the season, 7 games back of the final American League wildcard spot. Joe Ranieri, let's start right here with this on the Angels. We can't say we told you so, even though we did. The first thought process here, and I had the same thing for the entire first half of the season, it hasn't worked. Rebuild your organization. You're in Los Angeles. You have plenty of money. You trade Ohtani. You trade Trout. You get whatever you can for Anthony Rendon and any other rental piece that you have and say, you know what? Let's retool this thing. Let's stock our farm system with A talent. We'll add the free agency, and we'll try this again. The Angels get on a little bit of a win streak here, and what do they decide to do? Keep everybody in, Joe, and we all said the same thing. You know the Angels aren't making the playoffs. I don't think anybody, even the worst doubters, though, thought they'd be 0-6, Joe, since the deadline.
Yeah, I mean, when it's gone from bad for worse, too, because they, you know, let's not forget, one of those guys they traded for was Reynaldo Lopez to help solidify that bullpen. Now he's on the bereavement list. There was a death in the family, so he's back in the Dominican. Nobody knows how long it'll be before he can get back. So, you know, when it rains, it pours, Donnie. At the time, it seemed like, all right, we appreciate the effort by them trying to, you know, show Ohtani that, hey, we're here, right? We're doing everything we can to try and get this thing going. We got a shot at this. But ultimately, it's, the Angels are doing exactly what the Angels do. And look again here, Donnie, we're at the point in the season here where right when they needed him the most, he's nowhere to be found. And that being, of course, Mike Trout, unavailable at the time of the season where they need a superstar to turn it around for them. And once again, he's not here to help his team. So it's rinse and repeat with this team year in and year out. But, you know, hindsight's 20/20. At the time, it seemed like, you know, you appreciated the effort, but boy, oh boy, it's just history will show that maybe one of the worst non-moves that we have seen in baseball history.
I'll tell you what's interesting about this all the way around, too, because I thought you had the perfect cloud of cover for the organization, Joe, by saying, hey, look, we're going to trade Ohtani. We don't think he's going to come back to us, and he's going to leave his free agency. We might as well get a couple really good prospects for him. And also, Mike Trout was injured. You could have sold your fan base. And again, I'm not in the Los Angeles fan base, so I don't know what they actually think. But on the outside, if that was my team here, I go, you know what? Now's the perfect time to hit the reset button. It's just not going to work out. Instead, they go all in, which means in the offseason, maybe you're still trading Mike Trout. Well, why did you keep him here? Shohei Ohtani is just going to leave, so you get one of those sandwich picks, right? Pick number 36 for Shohei Ohtani in the next draft when you could have gotten three or four major prospects already coming back to you. It just didn't make any sense, and it looks like it's getting worse. Now, granted, there's still time to turn it around, but it's not as if, as I just said, Joe, hey, they're a half game back, two games back. They're seven games back, which doesn't mean you're just going toe-to-toe with one team. You got to jump multiple teams in that standings just to get back. Now, take a look at this next tweet here from Buster Olney. And again, this is from Fangraphs. The chances right now on you making the playoffs in the AL, if we start at the top, obviously, the Orioles, 96%, the Rays, 96%. Let's go all the way down that list. The Angels are at 3.6% to make it into the playoffs. The only teams below them, the Tigers at 1%, and the Royals, White Sox, and A's at 0%. This is a team that was supposed to be quote-unquote all in now with a 3% chance of getting into the postseason. And this is just a week away from the deadline.
No, it's optically, I get it, but I'm with you, Donnie, because I think they had that window of opportunity to do this and sell it to the fan base with minimal damage, right? Because I think even the fan base, and ultimately, if that's what you were worried about here, ultimately the fan base had, I think, already come to the conclusion, Donnie, he was moving on, right? I mean, everything leading up to it was coming out of Ohtani's camp was, I just want to win. So unless they've been living under a rock, the Angel fan base knows, well, that ain't here. Because you ain't doing that here with this organization. So they had that window of opportunity. They put on a good front, but ultimately it was never going to be enough. We kind of, you know, Randall Grichuk is not going to move the needle here. It's not going to help what they needed to get done. And it's unfortunate, but I just think not only are their chances of getting to the postseason next to nothing, the chances of Ohtani spending so much as a weekend at a Starbucks in that town is long gone, too. So just enjoy it while you can, because these are going to be the last few remaining games of Ohtani in an Angels uniform.
We'll see if that equates to some wins or maybe even just some team total wins that you can get if Mike Trout ever comes back. We've seen this dance before. Hey, Mike Trout's hitting off a tee right now. Yes. Don't see him for the next 60 days and he's out for the season. We'll see how quickly he even comes back at this point here. But if we do take a look at the AL wild card standings, as I just pointed out, it's not as if you have to jump one team. The three teams right now in the wild card spot, if the season ended today, Joe, it's the Rays, it's the Astros, and the Jays. Then after that, it's the Mariners, the Yankees, the Red Sox, and then the Angels and the Guardians behind them at 8.5 games, which is only 1.5 back of the Angels at this point. So you have to jump the Mariners, Yankees, Red Sox, and Angels. And every time you play the Mariners, it seems like they just have your number. 7.5 games, you have to get absolutely red hot just to make a run into this thing. And also, you know, you talk about, hey, we're going to go in at the deadline here. Well, this is Lucas Giolito was Gerrit Cole when he was just lights out. Like a 5 ERA, and that was your big move here. And Ronaldo Lopez was one of the guys over the past 2 to 3 years when he was a starting pitcher here. I used to fade him on a day-to-day basis for the amount of home runs that he actually gave up. I know it said 3%. And by the way, that 3%, Joe, yesterday was before they even lost another game. So who knows what that level is at this point here. So things getting a little bit more bleak. But if we take a look here, maybe the one thing left here is Shohei Ohtani. Can he salvage the season and be happy with an MVP award? He's got 40 home runs right now in Major League Baseball. So if we take a look at the leaders behind him or fighting, Matt Olson, 39 home runs. Pete Alonso, 31. Mookie Betts, 30. Luis Robert Jr. at 30 home runs. Can Shohei Ohtani, we think he's going to be the MVP, is he also going to take down that home run crown this year for Major League Baseball?
It's so hard to tell here, Donnie, because the minute that they get eliminated, right, from contention, how much are we going to see him? Let's be honest here. I mean, the guy works twice as hard as anybody else in Major League Baseball because he's got two jobs. He's got to pitch, and he's also got to, you know, he's got to play every day as your DH. So, the minute there's nothing left to play for, how much are we going to see him play? I think that's the big question. As far as I'm concerned, he's already done enough to warrant the award. Just put it in his name. There's nobody even remotely close. And I don't even know what the discussion would be as to why he would need to play any more games that mean absolutely nothing moving forward. If I'm his people and I'm in his camp, you don't see him once this once it's officially the postseason's officially over. Yeah, we're shutting him down. We're getting ready for next year.
I don't even wait that long. Like, he pitches in August, and that's it. He doesn't pitch again in September. His only goal is to hit 60-plus home runs. And by the way, the FanDuel Sportsbook, if he does lead the league in home runs, that's a minus 165 price on him. So he is the favorite to do that. Let's talk some Major League Baseball previews coming up next right here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball here. Preview card for Monday. Absolutely, yes. Action-packed show. Just got even more fun. Why? Because it's now the chance to set up new week, new money, which means the same game parlays at the FanDuel Sportsbook, they're right on deck. Who's ready for some fun today? How about close to a minus 300 favorite who I'm picking on? Yeah, I'm going to pick on them. That's the Atlanta Braves taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates. And my same-game parlay here on a Monday morning is a three-leg parlay, Joe Ranieri at the FanDuel Sportsbook. And that's called three times a charm, or three's a charm, however you want to say it here. I'm picking out three players on the Atlanta Braves to do some damage today, and it all makes sense. I'm looking at guys with extremely high ISO power numbers and weighted on-base percentage, which basically covers the entire Atlanta Braves lineup. We're going up against Osvaldo Baido today, and we're going to fade him. And we're going to keep it simple here. Ozzie Albies batting in the number two spot here. ISO power number 240, weighted on-base percentage 353. He'll be on base today. Why is that important? We're going to take him to record at least one run today. You know where we're going next? Right behind him, Austin Riley and Matt Olson. Take a look at these numbers against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. Riley, a 443 ISO power number. Olson, a 431 ISO power number against right-handed pitching. And weighted on-base percentages, one at 488, one at 482. So let's keep it simple here. Albies to score a run, Riley and Olson to get a base hit. When that happens today, forget about Atlanta even winning here. That's a plus 173 price that I'm paying. Three's a charm, and we're ready to go with the Atlanta Braves for plus 173. I'm living up today. It's new week, new money, Joe. It's the only way to get it done. Let's cash this in.
Kind of like the way you're rolling with that there, my man. I am, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? So why am I getting in front of any of those guys for you in Atlanta? Which is also the same theme I'm going to use today, because guess who's pitching for the Yankees, Danny? And guess what that price is? Yes. See, Garrett Cole will be back on the mound at less than right around $1.50 here, which means that guess what? I will be playing him, and I will be backing him because he has made us a ridiculous amount of money this year, simply because the Yankees' offense is putrid, but he is not. He is the one saving grace for this team. Going up against Dylan Cease, who is hoping this season ends rather quickly. So I am going to do the ultimate fade job here. I am going to back Garrett Cole. I am also going to bank on an under here because I don't trust, once again, this Yankees lineup on who have got to be stinging a little bit after walking 12 times and not being able to win that game last night. So just give me Garrett Cole. Give me the under in this matchup. Although the wind is blowing out, keep an eye on that. But ultimately, I think Dylan Cease and Garrett Cole battling. I think we got a pitcher's battle coming up there in Chicago today.
There you go. Let's get after it here and start the march of our little Major League Baseball preview on a Monday. And how about this? You got to love this. A 4:10 first pitch start here. Dodgers and the Padres, playoff implications all the way around. Tony Gonsolin will be on the mound here as the road team Dodgers take on the home team, the San Diego Padres, which will have Seth Lugo on the mound, a slight favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook here for those San Diego Padres at a minus 112 price. The total is a little bit juiced, over 9 at a minus 122. This is a big game for the Padres here, looking to even up this four-game set. In your opinion, does that happen? Where the Dodger bats just keep raking.
No, to me, this has got overwritten all over it. I don't trust either of these guys, Donnie. I think that Gonsolin has shown an ability to give up some runs there. He also sometimes tends to give up too many free passes. And listen, this Padres team, they had to throw out 85-year-old Rich Hill yesterday. Musgrove gets shelved. They still don't have Waka, who's still trying to rehab here over the weekend. They don't have him. Lugo is now going to be their hopes and dreams here. No. I do think runs are coming in this game because I do think the Padres can swing the bat and can score some runs here. And I think back against the wall, I think that's at home. I think that's exactly what they're going to have to do in order to have a chance at winning. So I'm going to take the over 9 here and expect, much like we saw yesterday, an 8-2 game, 10 runs. I think we get a few more than 10 runs in here.
I think you're right on this, too, because, again, this is an afternoon game. Keep in mind, out on the West Coast at night, we always talk about it here, about the marine layer here, which keeps those balls in the yard. It is a pitcher's ballpark, but how about this? First pitch show, 80 degrees and a wind blowing out at 9 miles an hour to right field. You got some really good hitting conditions, and you're right about that. Take a look at these pitchers. Gonsolin struggles against lefties. You got some really good left-handed batters in that lineup here for the Padres. And keep in mind, as we just said, blowing out to right field, that should be an advantage for those left-handed hitters. If we flip it over to Seth Lugo, you know who he struggles with? Left-handed batters. Again, the Freddie Freemans, Max Muncy, David Peraltas, Jason Hayward's, James Outman's here. I like where you're going with this one because I am rooting for San Diego because I need them to get into the playoffs with a ticket to possibly win a World Series to cash in some money there. But I do agree with you. We should be getting runs today out in San Diego. Game number 2 we'll take a look at on the card today, the Miami Marlins and the Cincinnati Reds. What's going on with both of these teams? Well, at least the good part is one of these two teams has to win today. That's Perez is going to be back on the mound here for those Marlins versus Williamson for the Reds. A -142 price here for the Marlins on the road, which shows you the respect that Perez is getting. But look at this. It's a total of 10.5. Get used to it. That's what the Reds do in Cincinnati. It's a smaller ballpark, but a lot of respect going to the Marlins today, Joe.
Well, and I get it because the Marlins are a million times better against lefties than they are righties, right? And we know Williamson has been a little suspect here, to say the least, as has this Cincinnati team, who has pretty much been licking their wounds here now since the All-Star break. It has not been good, but it hasn't been good for the Marlins either, though I do give them the advantage. Certainly, Donnie, I give them the advantage offensively in this one, and I give them the pitching advantage as well. So, yeah, I could only look Marlins maybe first 5, Marlins full game here. I think they're going to get back in the win column here after this one.
By the way, I like where you're going with that, too, because you take a look at Williamson here against right-handed batters for the past 30 days, a 234 ISO power number and a 366 weighted on base percentage. But take a look at that Marlins lineup today for what Joe is talking about. Also, 75 degrees with double-digit winds blowing out to right field. The guys that have been doing damage on the Marlins here against guys like Williamson, let me just check here, make sure. Yep, bring him back up here. Left-handed pitching. Take a look at this. Soler, a 375 weighted on base percentage. Bell, 421. Berger, 480. Garcia, 487. Birdie, of all people, 534. And Nick Fortes, who's supposed to be in the ninth hole, 494. I think runs would be coming here from the Marlins' perspective. So me, an RBI guy, you know I'm going to be fishing tonight for some Marlin in Cincinnati. Let's keep it moving forward here. The Washington Nationals in Philadelphia to take on the Philadelphia Phillies, and the Phillies are a heavy favorite in this one. Williams will be on the mound here for those Nationals. They are getting +194, which means the favorite, Ranger Suarez and the Philadelphia Phillies, a -235 price. Another high total here, Joe, listed at 10. Keep the good times rolling. This is a 4-game set in Philadelphia up against the Nationals. This is a big key moment here for the Phillies to try to separate themselves even more in the wild card race.
Yeah, another one of these things where we get this crazy, lefty and this crazy split, right, Donnie, with Suarez. Not too bad against righties, but absolutely atrocious against lefties here. But let's talk about it. Washington and their offense, much better against left-handed pitchers here than righties this year as well. So, again, the matchup, at least early, I think favors the Nats here, if there ever is such a thing. And it's just a matter of cost, right? I'm at plus 150, plus 160 in the first half of this game. I give the Nats a fighting chance here because of their splits against lefties. So I would look Nats early in the first five, but in all likelihood, we're looking at a Philadelphia win here, full game.
Maybe the best true hitter in the Phillies lineup this season has been Bryson Stott, left-handed batter here, usually bats around fifth. If you're looking for those RBI opportunities, he's still priced really well. And you take a look at Trevor Williams, the one thing that he does struggle with, Joe, matching up against left-handed batters. Last 30 days, a 366 ISO power number and a 459 weighted on base percentage. Yep. So if I'm looking at RBI props, Kyle Schwarber again, finally yesterday, getting a hit. And what does he do? When he gets hits, he hits home runs. He also, so left-handed Schwarber, left-handed Bryson Stott, maybe some decent looks here, and hopefully Bryce Harper starting to heat up as well for the Phillies. They played the Royals over the weekend, won that series, now a four-game set with the Nationals. These are the games where you have to certainly pick up the slack here and try to get on with it. Game that we just talked about here, the Atlanta Braves and also the Pittsburgh Pirates. Look, if you're lining this one up, minus 310 on the road usually is unheard of in Major League Baseball, but it's the Braves offense and Strider's pitching going up against Beto or Bido, however you pronounce that there, for the Pirates in 8.5 total. And as I brought up, what's not to like about the Braves lineup? And I always joke with Kevin, at least he, you know, fires back with me. You want to take like RBI props and hitter prop parlays with the Braves? Like, why don't you just take the whole team? Everybody always looks good for them.
You know, what's hard to believe here, Donnie, is that, I believe this is the first time they're playing this year here, the Pirates and the Braves, which is kind of crazy when you think about it here. And I mean, listen, outside of a rough weekend there at Wrigley, the Pirates, though, held pretty tough here this weekend against the Brewers, too. Right. All of a sudden, they just wouldn't go away. Could we be seeing maybe a nice bounce back spot here for Atlanta? Probably. So I would probably look to go with the Atlanta team total. Expect some runs and some home runs from this team in this one.
Absolutely. And by the way, Braves got to be smart in there from losing a series, something they don't do all that often here. So something to keep an eye on, but still a minus 310 price on the road. I don't care if it's Strider or not, my goodness, but we should be getting some runs. We'll keep it moving. You know what's up next? Those Cubbies, red hot. We'll talk about them next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Preview number two. Let's get it underway here. A lot more games to go, which includes the next one that we're going to talk about. A team that's red hot, Chicago Cubs. A team that's ice cold, the New York Mets. Go figure on this one, Joe Ranieri. Let's set the table at the FanDuel Sportsbook. The New York Mets, a minus 120 favorite in this game at Citi Field against the Chicago Cubs. A total is 9. Now, granted, that's because the pitching matchup here. Maybe Smiley isn't as good as Senga. But before we even handicap this game overall, when you say to yourself, okay, we understand it's an individualistic sport. So guys at the plate are like, I don't feel like playing anymore. I'm just going to strike out the rest of the way for the season. That doesn't happen. And the same thing with the pitchers. They get paid based on their ERA, their WHIP, their xFIP numbers, and all that good stuff. So you're going to get an honest effort either way. But one team smoking hot, riding that hot surge, and one team that looks like they can't wait for October the 1st to get here. How do you bet in situations like that? Apparently also, when you're not even the underdog with the Mets, you are the favorite. Can you trust them, Joe?
Yeah, it seems like they're begging you to take the Cubs here, aren't they?
They are.
They just seem to be begging the books, like, hey, let me dangle a little wrong team favorite here, and then next thing you know, the Mets win 13-3. Here's the deal. You never want to catch that falling knife, right, Donnie? And that's exactly what the Mets are. They are an absolute falling knife. They've lost all hope. They've lost any morale. And they've also lost the ability to obviously score any runs. 0-6 since the break here, Donnie. And what are we talking about since the trade deadline? And what are we talking here? We're talking about 2 shutouts in those 6 losses. So they are it's not going well for them. Senga has been pretty good at Citi Field, right? And the Cubs right now are grooving and feeling it. Smiley has had his issues as of late, but he's also had some pretty good numbers against the Mets throughout his career. So this would be one of those things where I would look to back an under in the first 5 and say, hey, 4.5, I think you can get. right now and say, yeah, maybe runs are a little hard to come by. But I do think once the bullpen gets involved here with the Mets, I do think this game will open up a little bit. So I'm just going to stick with the total and go under in the first five in this one.
You take a look at how hot the Cubs have actually been here at the plate. Let's just go against right-handed pitching, Joe, over the past 30 days. Now I'm going to read you the first eight players in the lineup that we expect to be out there today. Keep in mind, weighted on base percentage, 320 or higher is an above-average Major League Baseball player. Talkman, 418. Horner, 403. Happ, 363. Bellinger, 445. Swanson, 524. Candelario, 444. Morel, 361. And Magical, 456. The reason why they're winning baseball games is they are hammering the baseball at this point. Mm-hmm. We'll see if that can hang out because, again, Senga is a very good pitcher. Smiley, not a great pitcher, but if you're lining it up, the Mets don't even hit all that well against left-handed pitching. So the fact that they're favorites here, we've seen this mysterious stuff happen before with some of these, you know, bookmakers and what the odds are being set at. But it is apparent on your initial statement. Looks like they're trying to beg you for some Cubs money. And I know a lot of people will fall into that. Is it a trap? Probably not. But my goodness, can you trust the New York Mets in this instance? One of those where I certainly don't want to do. Royals and the Red Sox. Reagan's on the mound here for the Royals. It's going to be Bayo for the Red Sox. The Red Sox are a heavy favorite at a minus 198 and a total of 9.5. Now, you might say to yourself, well, look, I don't know much about Reagan's. Bayo's been good for most of the year, but struggling a little bit later as of late. But did you know? The Royals have won 7 of their past 10 games, and even though they lost that set in Philadelphia, they showed the ability to pound the baseball. So that plus 166 price, which typically say, well, the Red Sox are fighting, they're trying to get into the wild card race. The Royals haven't given up on the season, even though most of their players like, who? What is that? Where is he from?
Yeah, and that's the problem. But let me tell you something about this 25-year-old kid, this Reagan's kid. He's a lefty that throws 97, 98 miles an hour, which puts him into like that Jesus Luzardo, Shane McClanahan territory there. The kid has got filthy stuff here. He was used in the bullpen, right? A spot starter, but he's been kind of a bullpen guy. He came over in that trade for Chapman from the Rangers here, but I saw him pitch against Tampa, and I was like, my goodness, this kid is pretty good. He followed it up with a really good outing against the Mets here, too. So the Red Sox seem to be heading in the wrong direction. Verdugo showing up late to the ballpark over the weekend. Cora's calling guys out in the press. It just does not seem to be going very well here. And quite honestly, I mean, I love Bello. I mean, he's been great. He's cashed tickets for us throughout the season here, Donnie. But, you know, the Royals' bats are absolutely on fire. No reason for me to want to back Boston at a minus money at all. I am looking to back Kansas City first five and full game in this one.
Take a look at Bayo over the past 30 days here. 95 batters he's faced, a 322 ISO on a 410 weighted on base percentage. Now, don't get confused with the Atlanta Braves lineup, but we just went over some pretty powerful lineups here over the past couple games. Take a look at the last 30 days against right-handed pitching for Kansas City. Again, that weighted on base percentage of 320 is the benchmark. Witt, 494. Melendez, 334. Perez, 316. Massey, 345. Fermin, 406. Beatty, 402. Waters, 324. And Isbell, 343. So again, don't put it by you. They've been playing really good baseball as of late, which is pretty amazing for a team that's roughly got like what, 35, 36 wins on the season. They could play spoiler here. We'll see if it happens. We'll keep it moving down the list here and take a look at those. Toronto Blue Jays taking on the Cleveland Guardians. Ryu's going to be on the mound for the Blue Jays. Williams for the Guardians. A minus 124 price here for the Blue Jays and a total that's listed at 8.5. Any thoughts here on Ryu getting his season underway here for the Blue Jays if he can have a decent start here?
Well, I mean, it wasn't great, his first go around. Four runs, 9 hits, 5+, 13-3 loss there by the Orioles, but you know, this is not the same lineup that he had to face there against the Orioles. So, I would tend to believe that we are, you know, anytime I've got a Guardians team at home in this kind of spot, I tend to look towards the under. And I think the total was hovering around 9 in this one. Listen, he wasn't sharp. Mm-hmm. It's been a while. But I do think, a lefty in this spot against this lineup against the Guardians, I do think he'll be much better than he was against Baltimore. So I would definitely lean towards Toronto, which I think is the much better lineup top to bottom. And I do think the under might be a pretty good look as well.
Yankees heading to the Windy City here. It's going to be Gerrit Cole and Dylan Cease. If we take a look at those numbers, favorite here for the Yanks at a minus 172 price on the road in a total that's listed at 7.5. Now, I know you had the same game parlay wrapped up into this game. Taking a look at that under. Any other chances in this game? Yankees money line, Yankees run line, Yankees should win. And also, what's left of the White Sox here at this point, right?
Yeah, no, well, there's really not. And what's left of Dylan Cease, really, at this point? It looks like the most uninterested dude there is on the field right now. Like, yeah, I don't want nothing to do with this place. It's been a tough season over there, and I think that's ultimately why it culminated in a 15-minute brawl there against the Guardians over the weekend. But the reality is the one stable factor for the Yankees all year has been Gerrit Cole on the mound when they need a win. I expect him to get the win, Donnie. I expect Gerrit Cole to do exactly what he does. And I'm also looking to fade the White Sox team total here and expect them not to score a whole lot of runs.
Yeah, not expecting either, especially with that 7.5 total. Let's get out to the West Coast here. Giants and the Angels, ramifications all the way around. We just had an entire segment here on the Angels not playing good baseball. Can they get their first win out of the break? I'm going to say it's going to be a tough uphill climb. You're taking on the San Francisco Giants, also vying for maybe an NL West title, but more likely a wild card spot here in the playoffs. Webb versus Sandoval, total in this game listed at 8.5 and a favorite here for the Giants on the road at a minus 124 price. Because when you break this game down, Logan Webb has been sensational. ISO power numbers, weighted on base percentages, they all match up last 30 days, full year, it doesn't matter. And also take a look at Patrick Sandoval. He's got some really nice numbers on the season as well. If I'm looking at this game, I'm not trusting the Angels number one, but I actually think this game stays under the total. Any thoughts on this West Coast game? And again, the Angels just continue to bury themselves.
Yeah, no, they really do. And I guess if it's not the long ball, they're not going to score runs. Is that basically how where we're at here? Angels,
like,
although the Giants are a little perplexing too here. But no, it's a tough spot for both of these teams who really need some wins here at this particular point. But the Giants couldn't hit left. Man, there was a time when the Giants couldn't hit lefties. But they seem to have really turned that around this season here. Tough to go against Webb here, but to me, the only way to look is anything. If you can get 8, 8.5, Donnie, I think the under is absolutely worth a look here, especially if you can get 4 in the first 5.
Shohei Ohtani hit a home run in this game, the favorite at a plus 360 price. Also, to record a hit for Shohei Ohtani is a minus 290. He's not the leader. And the reason I wanted to bring that market up is because, you know, I love betting RBI. But at this point, maybe it's best just to take Ohtani to score a run. Because in that market here, let me just see if we have how many that is. Let's see. He is minus 115. He said, well, Donnie, he's so powerful to play. He leads Major League Baseball in home runs. If you've noticed over the past week or so, he's been getting that Barry Bonds treatment at times, getting those intentional walks. Hey, look at that. Runner on third, one out. Walk him to first base. Like, no. Like, he's not even getting a chance to swing the bat here to drive in runs. He'll be on base probably multiple times. And if they score a run, Ohtani's probably a pretty good chance to do that. I always like Ohtani now to score a run as opposed to Ohtani to get an RBI. Last game we'll take a look at, once again, on the West Coast here. That is going to be a prohibitive favorite here, and rightfully so. Everybody is usually a favorite here when it lines up with the Rangers and the Athletics. It's one of those where one team is fighting for a playoff spot, one team just looking for the end of the season. Dunning will be on the mound at a minus 240 price. And how about this? Waldichuk, a total of 9 here on the mound for the Oakland Athletics. Oof. More of the same for the Rangers against the A's, or does our good friend Waldichuk bite back today?
Well, you know, I mean, how many runs did the A's score yesterday? Like, what, 9? What? Like, they
bust it out, man.
9 runs? I could not believe that myself here. Eight runs. I don't want to give them more credit than they're due here. But this kind of feels like we should be focusing on team totals here. Doesn't it? It feels like I think the Rangers are going to score as many as they want. And yes. I think that maybe that's the best way to look at it is just expect the Rangers to go over their team total in this one. Shouldn't be that difficult here against Waldichuk.
Here's what doesn't make sense, Joe Ranieri, in this, right? When you're a left-handed batter, you are supposed to struggle against left-handed pitchers, which Waldichuk is. Now, right. Waldichuk actually struggles against left-handed batters, which the reason I'm bringing this up is you look at Corey Seager. He's had 20 at-bats over the past 30 days against left-handed pitching. And I told, like, an ISO power number that's solid is a 175. A weighted on-base percentage that's solid, like a 330. Seager versus lefties, 579 ISO, 521 weighted on-base percentage with a 20% K rate or less. He might just be going deep tonight. Ooh. And you never, lefty on lefty, stay away from that stuff. Absolutely not. That's a place that I certainly will be looking forward to some runs tonight. We'll see if it plays out. But Joe Ranieri completed a Monday, but his residency is going to continue on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday here with us on the Early Line. Now, the show isn't over just yet. Listen Up is coming up next, so make sure you stay tuned. But Joe Ranieri, you'll be tuned into him all week long right here on the Sports Grid Network on the Early Line. I'll be right back. Listen Up coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the day for a Monday morning edition of the Early Line right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. Thanks for spending the time with us for 2 hours as we hopefully covered every single topic you're going to need for the rest of your Sports Grid day, which includes the morning after coming up next with Ben Stevens over the first hour. I will be a part of that show, so don't you go anywhere and make sure that you tune in. We went over a lot of good stuff today, which included the Angels, what's the deal, man? 0-6 since the trade deadline here. Chances to make the playoffs hovered around 3% now. All those question marks into the offseason. Rendon, Otani, Trout, where do they all end up? And also in the NFL marketplace here, keeping an eye on the quarterback situations in a lot of cities, which include young superstar number one draft picks actually playing in the preseason. What a novel concept that actually is. And also the Netflix series Quarterback, not getting a lot of hype here for year number two, because why? A lot of quarterbacks certainly turning it down. I don't know who actually can be a part of that. Who hasn't turned down the Netflix series at this point here? But we are talking about a lot of stuff, all things included. The U.S. national women's team, look, didn't work out in their favor a couple years into the future. They'll certainly be able to try again. But my goodness, keep it in the soccer world. Lionel Messi, man, listen up. It's Messi Mania in Miami. And so many times you take a look at sports books, which include the FanDuel Sportsbook. Hey, to score a goal, how about this? Every single game, it feels like multiple goals from Lionel Messi. Now, granted, we're not in the regular season. We're in the League's Cup here, round of 16. But take a look at this. They just continue to win. Why? When you have the best player maybe to ever walk the earth playing soccer on your side, it's usually a good thing. 7 total goals so far, which coming over to Inter Miami, which included 2 more yesterday in a game that was tied 4-4 that went into a penalty kick shootout. No, yeah, Messi scored on his penalty kick as well. He has been an absolute breath of fresh air here for the MLS. We'll see where it continues. I've said this many times. He's on a team in last place. I don't think they can make the playoffs. MLS, change the rules for an automatic open spot for Inter Miami to make the MLS playoffs. Who's going to be upset by that? Absolutely nobody. Stay tuned for Ben Stevens in the morning after, coming up right now.